Matthew 18. Let's just go over it again. In verse 18, which was our text, or is our text, "Verily I say unto you, whatsoever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever you shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." And we have looked at this text from what Jesus was talking about. He was referring to offenses, that if a brother offends you, which is in verse 15, he says, you go to him and tell him his faults between you and him alone. That's important. If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. I was saying, basically what Jesus was talking about isn't just forgiving actions, but equally he was talking about reconciliation. That is, when you go to meet a brother who has offended you, allow me to use that, is not to just tell him. Alright? That is, if communication has broken down, relationship has been altered, your objective is not to make the brother feel like you have done wrong. The objective is to gain your brother. We have seen that already. He says, now, if he will not hear you, don't forget that's the second level, you will now take two or three. For out of the mouth of two or three witnesses, he says, every word shall be established. If he neglect to hear them, then tell it to the church. And if he neglects to hear the church, tell him, let him be unto you an heathen and a publican. Verily I say unto you, whatsoever you shall bind on earth. And so in that instance, from our study, we said, what do you bind? You bind yourself. You bind unforgiveness. Alright? And what do you lose? You lose the brother who has offended you, and you lose forgiveness. Is that very clear? Is that clear? Okay. So when you use binding and losing, unlike how sometimes we have used this verse, it's for your own actions. It's actually an action and an inaction on your part. An action to forgive, an inaction on unforgiveness. That's the term binding and losing there. And that's why immediately he said that disciples asked him, so how many times do I have to do this? My brother offended me, and he said 70 times 7. So you have to keep binding on one single person. You will bind 490 times, right? Am I making sense? Or one person. So you will be bound 490 times, and you will lose 490 times, which are figurative anyway, just simply means that, basically, 7 times 70, right, which is basically, you must have an unconditional act of forgiveness towards others. Now, importantly, and this is what we want to drive home today, is the fact that whose initiative is to gain your brother? Huh? It is your initiative. The walk in love is your initiative. He didn't say, if he talks to you, He said, you will go to him. So I say, go to him. So it is your responsibility to go. And that's why we define walking in love as what again? Can you remember it? As a spiritual initiative that you embark upon. It's not inspired by anybody. So it is your responsibility to initiate it. You will pick the call. Amen. I said amen. You will take your car. Or if you don't have a car, take Marwa. So you will take the initiative. You will go to him. Alright? Notice that. You will go to him. He said, let it be between you and him alone. Don't say, bro, so and so. I want to go and meet. You know, he has done this for me, so I want to go and meet him, according to Matthew 18:15. That's not you and him alone. Because, you know, sometimes human nature, which is not born again, the first instinct is to tell somebody apart from the person. And what it does is that it makes you feel, it makes the other person feel at fault, and then you are justified. Because you say, let me just tell you what this person has done. Sometimes we do it to persuade ourselves on how right we are. But he says, no, you go to the brother first. If he listens to you, then you have gained your brother. Then he says, you turn it to others. So we have handled the going to the brother. We're coming back to it later. You go to the brother yourself. That's why we said, forgiveness without reconciliation is not spiritual. If there's forgiveness, there must be reconciliation, there must be communication. No, I've forgiven him. I don't talk, we've not spoken in the last 69 years. But you know, that can't be forgiveness. There must be communication and there must be reconciliation. Now let's look at the other one. It says, you tell others, which is you tell two or three. Now I want to also look at an example in Philemon, between Paul, Onesimus, and Philemon. Now I want you to put yourself in the shoes of the two or three. That is, if a brother comes to you and says to you that, well, I want to go and this person has offended me. Notice what he didn't tell you to do. I want you to, let's observe something. Matthew 18. Matthew 18. Put your hands in Philemon, but let's go to Matthew 18. Notice in verse 16, if he will not hear you, what did he ask you to do? Huh? He didn't say, tell it to two or three. He says, take with you. That is, you are not informing those brethren about what you perceive has been done wrong. You are actually taking them there so that they can witness your attempt of reconciliation. That's why he said, out of the mouth of two witnesses, two or three witnesses, every word shall be established. Whatever you say, two or three people can bear witness to what you have said. So he's not saying, after he hasn't heard you, call them and give them the gist. That's not what he's saying. Take them with you. Now, why are you taking the two or three with you? Is it for the gist or to gain your brother? Huh? To gain your brother. Now, if you were in the two or three, what should be your own motive is to gain the brother. So we said every believer must be relationship conscious, reconciliation conscious, I meant. So is to gain your brother. Look at an example now, Philemon. Now there are three characters that will just run through them. One of them was Philemon. Philemon, responsible Christian. Paul, Philemon 1:1, he calls him our dearly beloved and fellow laborer. Amen. Amen. Which means he's involved in the work of the ministry. And to our beloved Aphia and Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church in thy house. That is, Philemon had a church he had oversight over. Oversight on, amen. To what? Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's quickly go to verse 5. Hearing of thy love and faith which you have towards the Lord Jesus and all saints. So Philemon is known for being that brother or that preacher who has been showing love to the brethren. And that doesn't mean that he will always have everything going on without something to correct here and there. And that's exactly what happened here. We have great joy and consolation in thy love because the bowels of the saints are refreshed by thee, brother. So he must have taken care of saints very well materially. Wherefore, though I might be much bold in Christ to enjoin thee that which is convenient, yet for love's sake, verse 9, I rather beseech you, be such an one as Paul the aged, and now also a prisoner of Jesus Christ. I beseech you for my son Onesimus, whom I have begotten in my bonds. Now look at verse 11. Let's take verse 11 together. Let's go. Which in time past was to thee unprofitable, now profitable to thee and me. Notice that. He said before, he was useless to you. Obviously, there was a fallout of that relationship between Onesimus and Philemon. He says, no, whom I have sent again, let's take control together, whom I have sent again, thou therefore receive him that is my own bowel. So, Paul is saying, I'm aware that he offended you. I'm aware he was useless to you. I'm aware he did something that wasn't good. But you see, this fellow is now profitable. The first thing Paul does there is that he believes the best. If you cannot believe the... No, you can believe the best because you are born of God. You can't believe the best. You are not born again. But if you won't believe the best, you will never be able to achieve reconciliation. If you won't believe the best. But Hagin used to say that almost the most missing ingredient in many believers' love walk is to believe the best of every person. That oftentimes we believe the worst. It's easy for us to think that people will do what they have done before than to do what they have never done before. It's easy for us to think in the, that is the flesh, that that guy, than to believe the best. That this fellow, actually, because he's born again, alright, he will be better off. He's getting better. You know. So he says, this guy is profitable unto you. Without testing Onesimus at all, Paul says he is profitable. Pay attention. Whom I would have retained with me, that in thy stead he might have ministered unto me in the bonds of the gospel. He's saying he's as useful to me as you are useful to me in the gospel. That's faith. Let me ask you, do you have faith in people? You know, many of us, we love the fact that God has faith in us. I'm going to ask you, do you have faith in people? You know, the truth is, do you have faith in people? You know, for many of us, we talk about how God, in spite of our failings, he still will trust you, he'll give you responsibilities. He calls you his son. He calls you, you know, his beloved. And we love to say it, but do we release the same faith towards people? Do we believe the best? Or do we believe the worst? If you don't believe the best of people, you cannot achieve reconciliation. Love believes the best. Say, love believes the best. Say again, love believes the best of every person. Do you know, the love of God does not give up on people. Do you know that? Are you aware of that? That the love of God does not give up on people. So, look at Paul again. He says, it's not profitable unto you. And without my mind would I do nothing, that benefit may not be as aware of necessity but willingly. But perhaps he therefore departed for a season, that thou should receive him forever. But now, not now as a servant, but above a servant, a brother loved, especially to me, and how much more unto thee, both in the flesh and in the Lord. If you count me therefore a partner, receive him as myself. That should be how we reconcile people. I mean, you know, Paul literally threw he threw his cards, everything. Look, you know, look, take this guy like me. If you see, he moved from, he's a believer. Eh? Then he moved to look. Okay. Put the thing on me. You hear people say things like, I don't trust anybody. It's because you are not trustworthy. If you are trustworthy, you will trust people. There is no scripture that says you do not trust people. You are a new creature. You are a new creature. Paul talks about being faithful stewards. He mentioned the fact that he trusted Timothy. How can you say you don't trust anybody?
I don't trust anybody. It's only God I trust. It's not true. It's only yourself. Even that yourself, you don't trust yourself. So he put himself on the line. And much more, look at what he said. Let's take verse 18 together. If he has wronged thee, let's take it together. Come on, let's go. Or owe you anything, put it on my own account. Hallelujah. That is reconciliation. The last one, verse 19. I, Paul, have written it, let's go, with my own hand, I will repay. Albeit, I do not say to thee how thou art also owe me thy own service. And look, you owe me your life. So you can, you know, we need to let people know that, look, you also are a debtor somewhere. You owe people your, you didn't emerge from the blues. And that's what we do in reconciliation. Now, Paul did not deny the fact that Onesimus must have wronged him. That's not the point. But he said, look, give everyone another chance and believe the best of them. So if they call you as one of the two or three, don't go there and start saying, I've always told you about John, brother Onesimus. I've always told you. That should not be your work. Your work is to ensure that there is no schism, that there is reconciliation in the church. Amen. Amen. So look at the first thing he did. He said, receive him as a brother. Then he says, receive him as my person. Then he said, okay, even if you will receive him and he still holds you, let me be the one to hold you. That's reconciliation. Hallelujah. That's the consolation. So if they call you as one of the two or three, your work is not, you know, some folks, what they want to hear is the gist. What exactly happened? Let me know. What day was that? He did that? I remember when I was younger, I was not even really as involved in ministry, was about 92. And Uncle Adam used to say then that Uncle Adam, you know, he brought some of us up then. He said, as a preacher, you must never say, that you will not let the person conclude the story. That anything they tell, just say, glory to God. So I learned it. So if you say, he said, this is what I did. First, so you just say, no, I was joking. So, you will go there and say, give me more gist. And your job is that after you have heard what happened between Onesimus and Philemon, you now call Titus. Things are happening. Do you know what Onesimus is? You know, we mustn't be found doing those kind of things. A Christian is not a talebearer. See, I'm not a talebearer. That's why, as a believer, believers who visit JIT blogs, they are carnal. Let me say it. Believers who visit JIT blogs. You know that blog, they are always writing about people's private lives. And that is, it is the book, it's bookmarked on your iPad. I don't want to mention names. LS. You know what I'm saying? Look, okay. P square owing 5 million. P square cash. Why am I saying P square? What happened? I said P square 2 times. You know, and I'm not on my top list at all. But you know what I say? Lagbaja, that's the better one. Lagbaja found drunk in the gutter. What happened? So the eagerness of your old man that has not died. Your old man just had anesthesia. He's not dead. Anesthesia. Just goes, praise God. I walk in love. I walk in. What? After getting the gist, it's not walk. You run in love. If you love gist, that's why you go on those blogs. And you have some friends. They are not Christians. If they are Christians at all, even angels don't know, it's only the book of life that they are. You just lie there. Because they load you daily with benefits. They load you daily with benefits. Ah, what's happening there? You missed, oh. If you keep doing things like that, you won't achieve reconciliation with believers. You must never have air for Jesus. I remember, you must have known the story. There was this issue about a preacher who had a problem with his marriage. And I was privileged, that's the word, to hear about it from someone very close to the wife. So the man just called myself and another minister and he said, look, this is what I heard, this and this and this. And as they wanted to continue, I said, hold on, sir. I said, me, I cannot intervene. I'm not small to them. I am too small. If you tell me what happened between them, it will be gist. It will be reconciliation. Because I can't call either of them. If I can't even call them in the spirit. Do you understand? I said, the best thing is tell someone who is wise enough to understand what the love of God is. So I cut myself off the conference call. I said, I'm not going to. And I didn't listen to the guy. Because there's nothing to hear. I am not going to be the one to speak to both of them. So what I'm hearing will be gist. I know gist is interesting. It doesn't stay in your mind. It comes out again. And if you don't hear the gist about someone, you won't feel bad about the person. If the hear does not hear a story, if you don't hear anything about someone, you won't have any feeling towards the person. So why not guard your heart with all diligence? Proverbs 4:23. Just guard it. Hallelujah. Okay, so if you are one of the two or three, you must pursue reconciliation. You must do all you can and can all you do to ensure that there is peace. The Bible says, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. That is, if we want to see the Lord, which he was talking about, because he was talking about a brother who went into bitterness. He said, follow holiness. You know, and peace. Actually, the holiness there is peace with all men. That's what it means. Peace with all men. Because that's a holy conduct. That which no man shall see the Lord. So your walk should be, look, let me follow peace with all men. Hallelujah. You know, I've seen some folks, even pastors, who will call you claiming that they want to resolve something between you and someone, and they just want to hear this. Pastors, I pity their church members. I can imagine what they are going through. And they, people like that, they were using spirits to hold their member. The spirit said. Because when you are done with champagne, the spirit that you use there. Let's go further. Acts 15. So the next level, when I'm done with two or three, I tell it to the church, right? Come on. Okay, which is, we said the church there will be the Sanhedrin in the Jewish style, or basically the elders. Now, in Acts 15, between Paul and Barnabas, notice, you must respect the local church. The local church was the end point there. Notice, he didn't say, take the church there. That would be interesting. He said, tell it to the church. In other words, when two or three don't achieve it, that means you now tell it to the church. What you tell to the church is, well, I've taken two or three to him, they've established every word, but he has not heard it. So the church now seizes the matter, which happens here, in Acts 15, verse 36. And some days after, Paul said unto Barnabas, let us go again and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord and see how they do. And Barnabas determined to take with them, it is to see whether they have lost their salvation, just see how they do. Amen. 37. And Barnabas determined to take with them John, whose surname was Mark. And Paul thought not good to take him with them, that's Mark, who departed from them from Pamphylia and went not with them to the walk. And the contention was so sharp between them that they departed one asunder from the other. That is, they argued over it for many days. And so Barnabas took Mark and sailed unto Cyprus. Paul chose Silas. Let's say 40 together. Paul chose Silas and departed have been recommended by the brethren unto the grace of God. Notice that there was a role that the church played. So I say, who was right? Paul or Barnabas? Obviously, if you understand scriptural authority, for the church to have recommended Silas, that is the authority there. They recommended Silas. So the church did not recommend John Mark. So the church took a hold of the matter, and we have to get this. We must respect the local church. We have to. The brethren did that. Unto the grace of God. So Paul did not take that decision on his own. That's Paul. He had the revelation, he had the ministry, but he took counsel with the church and from the church. And that's exactly what Jesus says. He's telling to the church. So what role does the church play? Now go to 1 Corinthians 6. Because sometimes what we say is we probably think he's talking about spiritual matters. It's not doctrinal matters at all. Things that happen between brethren. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 1. Dear any of you, what I'm about to say here will be very, very, it's not tough, but, you know, it's for some folks, it may look tough. Dear any of you having a matter against another, okay? Does that fall in line Matthew 18? Huh? Does it? Okay. Go to law before the unjust and not before the saints. Notice that. It says it goes to law before the unjust and not before the saints. That is, you cannot take a matter between you and a believer to an unbeliever. No. So you can't do that. Because Jesus said you must take brethren with you. Then you take it to the church. He says, if the fellow, now pay attention, if the fellow, we're going to see that, if the fellow now does not listen to the church, you will now bind and lose. He didn't say, if you are not listening to the church, then go to the unjust. No. What is it? You can't do it. Dear any of you, do you not know, verse 2, that the saints shall judge the world? Let's take verse 2 together, the B part. And if the world shall be judged by you, are you unworthy to judge the smallest matters? See what he calls it? The smallest. He calls interpersonal clashes, which we sometimes we read that, smallest, how? He says, they are the smallest issues. He says, you are judging angels. You are judging eternity. You are judging eternal things. And you are now, you know, pushing issues. All right. What do you do? I was talking to someone today. Someone was supposed to have been taken to court, his company, and a fellow died. The lawyer said, you sue his company, you continue his company. I said, we are believers. He has died. If a believer can pursue a man in a court case after he has died, what have you believed? And the money is much. You know what I'm saying? I said, walk away. I said, the guy has died. But it's a legal, you know, you need to talk grammar. Say, it's a legal matter. True about the matter. Say, see, it's a, we can look at it from the point of the companies and allies and matters act. Or God, leave all that one. Before they wrote company matter and allies act, they are different 1 Corinthians 6. Amen. Okay. Thank you. Very, what I'm saying is painful. But you have to do it. Praise God. You walk away. He said, look, these are small matters. Don't say, no, they're not small matters. Paul doesn't know what I'm talking about. If it is not eternal, it is small. The word small was used by Paul in 1 Corinthians 15:9. The least of the apostles is the word elachistos, elachistos in the Greek, E-L-A-C-H-I-S-T-O-S. E-L-A-C-H-I-S-T-O-S. It actually means least, when you rank things. in the order of priority in ranking, it is low. It's an earthly matter.
Elachistos. You see it again in Matthew 2:6 and Matthew 5:19.
So these are small matters. They are earthly matters. Look at the next verse.
Let's take it together. Know ye not, everybody let's go. Know ye not that we shall judge angels, how much more things that pertain to this life.
And look at what they but this is like, it's the word biotikos, bio, you know you have bio, B-I-O, tikos, T-I-K-O-S.
It is used for worldly things,
ordinary things. Ordinary things.
Luke 23:34 has it. Ordinary things.
Worldly things. Worldly things. Now the point is that for him to say you take a matter to the law, the unjust, he's not talking about the unjust as a human being. He's talking about the unjust as a system of judgment. Did you get it? The unjust, that is the world system of judgment. Hallelujah. Now you can't take a believer there now. Your family. Your family. Some folks don't understand family. I remember when I took a matter over a year, it was in Chambers I worked with briefly, and we're talking about family inheritance and all that. I told him, I said, what you people are from the same father? The guy said, this is about money. He didn't, when you, if you say it slowly, I think it's a temptation. No. He said it, as I landed, he landed. It's the money. It says money. And he carried daily devotion into the meeting. One time I was trying to mediate in a divorce. And the woman was, she tied her scarf and all that, and she was praying and I heard her Bible and all that. As soon as I said the love of God, she changed her face. I'm sorry, yo. I said, sorry. Amen. Are you there? He calls it the smallest matters. Sometimes it's clarity that makes us overrate issues. It's not small, though. It's not small. My only house. It's not small, though. My car. It's not small, though. You feel like, when some people introduce you to a business and things you look at them and say, and he says he's led by the Spirit. Have you ever done that? What spirit? He cannot even know that he will fail. And you see, you see, strife will grow big. You become a striker. Nonsense. How can a man of God, and he will be praying on the giving word of knowledge all over the place, he cannot even predict Bitcoin. He can't do it. He said these are ordinary things. Look at verse 4. Amen. If then you have judgment of things pertaining to this life, set them to judge who are the least esteemed in the church. Look at what he said. He said you cannot. Who are the least esteemed? Look at how Paul called the judgment system of this world. He uses a word that means things that must be ignored. You know, King James is old English. The word there actually means that should be ignored in the church. I'll spell the Greek word for you. E-X-O-I. E-X-O-U, actually. E-X-O-U. T-H-E-M-E-O. I hope I'm right. I think my spelling will be wrong. It means what should be ignored. And look, this kind of judgment should be ignored in the church. Praise God. So we can't take it to the unbeliever. Even if the unbeliever we're talking about, or the same we're talking about, is your family. No. This is the best system. This is the best kind of. Say, look, this is family. This is church family. Hallelujah. Some of you are quiet. Have you done it before? Amen. He said, this system of judgment of the world is ignored where? By the church. We ignore it. Not in the church. It is ignored. We don't mention it. But you see, today, churches, they take themselves to court. I remember years ago, something happened in the church I assisted and all that.
Someone told me, Charles, I had gone to do affidavit. You know, when you are going in the flesh, I don't have affidavit. I said, I will do this. But I just told myself, how am I going to preach this? And every year I teach walking in love. My conscience must be pricking me as I'm talking about it. I said, no. I told myself, my friend who was a lawyer said, this is a matter of reputation. You must protect your reputation. You can't be a lawyer and I said, you're making sense. You know, when you want to repent, you now say, you're making sense. But finally, I told myself, I said, no. Love can suffer a wrong. I told stop. These people go to church, go to no, in our ministry. Yeah. God Community International Church versus God Community International 2. And then come. Say no. He's the one, the Spirit of God. No, I'm the one. Let me give you the proof. You bring that diary. In it, come. And then the unbeliever will say, you, Pastor, what do you call yourself? And you're not all ashamed of it. You get the point. Someone told me, if some people now take your church and take it away. So, after that, they don't take me away. I'll just go down the road and I'll start something else. Because they've done it before. Some brethren, they said they were the old, that they hold the ministry. I said, bro, so. He said, no! We were there at Star Palace. I was the one, you know what I'm saying? I was the one that sang the song. I'm not joking, though. So I said, when we prayed, they took the entire ministry away. I attended their first meeting. It was a Friday evening. I attended, and they were talking, said, we are here for a purpose, the Lord, revival, and I was there. And I watched it. And this thing, when they finished, I just started something else. Nothing to fight about. What are you fighting? Don't say, I'm fighting over my flock. Flock. I said, anybody that can follow anyone, that is the person's leader. I don't do anything. I don't fight. Don't say, somebody left our church for your church. I feel myself. I hear, what is your ministry? What's he doing there? I don't do those dirty things. I don't let you be. Praise God. And if I come to them and there's nobody, I'll just go and close the door and go home and say, what can we do with this place? Maybe rent it out for wedding, party, and make money and start evangelism on the road. You see, we shouldn't do that thing. So when they were doing the CAC, the churches, somebody is going to appoint people on the board of trustees of company, of churches, they are going to change them. Someone are coming. So what are you thinking? What are you doing? I said, nothing. I said, I'm not even available. I said, I'm the spiritual leader of our church. I'm not on the board. So why did you do that? I said, so for what? He said, nothing. He said, you are even knowing why you are afraid. Why are you afraid? He said, the government removes you. That's persecution. I just go and preach the gospel. Why did I get into all this? Lord have mercy on my soul. So the least esteemed, amen. Some of you are quiet. You are wondering how many unjust people you have gone before. I understand. You are wondering. You say, Father, my own is not just unjust. I have visited before the weekend. Look at this. Verse 5, let's take it together. I speak to your shame. I mean, look at, you know, it's the same thing he told them in 1 Corinthians 15, 34. I speak this to your shame. Awake, you know, I speak, some admire the knowledge of God, I speak this to your shame. This is a shame. You know, we say Corinthians church, they are carnal. But this church is more spiritual than many believers, though. They are the spiritual fathers of many believers. Look at this. Let's take it again. I speak to your shame. Come on. Is it so?
that there's not a wise man.
He did, oh George!
There's not a wise man. The word sophos in the Greek. One who has insight. There's not a wise man among you. No, not one.
Yeah?
That shall be able to judge between his brethren. Hallelujah. He emphasizes the word brethren, Adelphos. Brother to brother. You came from the same womb. How can you? There should be somebody in the local church who can call you. And the truth is, in scripture, when the local church makes that decision, it's final. Now, don't say, ah, what if the church is the church that is not of the word? What are you doing there? What did you do there? What are you doing there? Because you tell you, look, brother, in this matter. Ah, sir. Sir. Okay, sir. This is the local church. This is our position on the matter. You can't go before the law. You can't do it. And this already shows you that divorce. Now, I am not against divorce if it has to happen. And there are room for that. But it's almost an extreme case. Many of the reasons why people easily break up marriages is because there is enough information and influence outside to have these kind of options. It's like local church. If every church used to pray and study the Bible all the time, do you know that people who have options? When you come to a place and say, 2 hours teaching, what's happening? That is this, no, not that difficult. Down that road. So, I went to somewhere now. There was no prayer at all. In fact, they just said, let this put on love for Christ's sake. Amen. And when we're doing if I didn't know when they had done the sermon, somebody came, did a dance, another person did. You know, we moved from choreography. You know, the choreography was bringing our spirit. We didn't know that was the glory of the latter house. It was giving our spirit. We were like, Jesus said, Jehovah said, in church. I remember, me and my friend, what is this? And then, they were just bringing the bell from the pocket. So they would do dance. Say, dance. Dance. They were still starting. They used to give, we used to pray, what is going on? There's also, now somebody will come and be giving comedy. And they say, and he'll be using gifts of his spirit to joke. Prophecy, utterance, tongues, preaching. And they say, the word is not working. How will it work? It's a joke now. Okay, don't think that it's a joke. Do you get it? So there's an option. So the believer must, first of all, exercise the authority in the local church to resolve conflicts. Listen, conflicts will always happen. It's normal. Hallelujah. It's normal. Conflicts will always occur. So he says, is there not someone who has wisdom? Who has the word? Not the wisdom there is not somebody who is an adult. He has white hair. Say, and then, let's call on Baba so and so. He's been in Nigeria before Lord Lugard. He has experience. That's not what he's saying. Sophia is talking about the wisdom of the word. Amen. Who can judge between brethren? You know, you can judge between people, but you don't understand brethren. So he's talking about those that can judge between brethren. That's not age, oh. That is the word. In fact, some people don't even know who a brethren should be. So you will give the children's food to a dog. So give it to people who are full of the wisdom of God, who have insight into God's word. And that's why it's important that, this can happen in the church where the word of God is giving justice and taught. and things are easily resolved. Amen. Are we learning something? All right. So, we must exercise the office of the local church exhaustively. We must ensure that brethren, there's nothing called it a private affair. It's not done. It's not a private affair. Believers must get involved. Amen. And when you discover that a brother in church doesn't relate with you well, go and meet him. If he still shuns you, call brethren. Don't say, well, he hasn't been talking to me and I don't give a damn. I don't give a damn. I mean, that's how we're in my family. You know, in my family, if you see my mother, you understand who I am. And you say you're born again. In my family, we don't give a damn. Oyinbo market doesn't know who came, you know. You have been looking for, we don't give a hoot in our family. You know, this is your family in Christ. The minute you see that brother has been talking to you, you call, you go and meet the person. I greeted you last time, you were speaking in tongues. What happened? You know, you don't get to the point. You say, I said hello, you just son died. You say, sir, what happened? You say, well, nothing. Yeah. Are you sure there's nothing? Okay. He says, no, I don't want to talk to you. And you find the person who was able, go and call her. Don't say, it's personal. You don't want to talk to me. All right, big deal. Big deal. Look, those are for movies. This is from the word. Stop acting your life in a movie. Act on the word. Amen. So say, act on the word. You are born of God. You are born of the Spirit. Okay? Okay, so fine. So what if the brother is irreconcilable? There are some brethren like that. One told me, he said, for me to see, I would rather that day I shook when usage. I shook like, you know when you shake and you know that you shook. He said, look, I would rather have my name removed from the book of life. And for me, I said, so brother, and they will say it, and I said, I said, no, calm down. I said, what, look at what he said. He said, no, ignore it. I said, ignore what? Book of life. That me, I've been chasing since the 80s to enter. Somebody can, on top what? You know, something like that. They're irreconcilable. You know, you're about to say, you use your eye, they won't listen. You use your hair, they won't listen. They're just like that. What do you do? You know, in the natural, it will be like, what? Now look, I don't depend on you. Okay, who are you? Who are you? Is it because we're just brethren? Is it because we're brethren? Is Christianity that has put us together? Look, those things, you know, we get them from the world. Even our humanity, we will be throwing our hands. It's the world. Look at something like this. You know, you didn't, those things didn't come from the Spirit. Or even the Spirit that is not born again. Okay. Somebody showed you how to react. Give it to him! Give it to him! So say, did you give it to him? Yeah, you're not a bastard. What if that person is irreconcilable? Amen. You know what we said last week? A man can marry to a woman and she will carry a hurt for donkey years. She just said to her, I just watched your father. I was watching you. And you said, mommy, are you going to talk? Yes. To forgive is divine. To err is human. And I am human. You know that? I mean, some people talk like that and say, believer, bruh. People, some people bring hearts. And two things, though, is both HURT and HOT. Because hearts. Someone told me something. Christian, pastor. He said, the pounded yam of 20 years. You know that? He said, he's still hot. I said, hey!
Is there expecting it to be hot like that?
Don't you know?
And I said, I understand.
You know, at that point, if you quote scripture, you're wasting your time. He has come in the volume of the book. The pounded yam of 30 years.
Hey!
I'm serious. I just talk to in the church. I'll give you more than a song.
Stay with the song.
I'll give you more than a song. You are my heart, Jesus. I love you forever. I love.
Wait. Love the person beside you. The one you are not seeing, you are crying, you are loving. Love the person you can see.
I love you. See, do you know something? Let's be frank. Do you want me to say something? God doesn't need your love. For what? Are you putting love with him? Are you forgiving him? You're not being kind to him or tender hearted towards God. It's meant that you should love, oh. Yeah, I love God. For what? What is loving God for? Where is the account of your love of God? Give me the account number and the BVN. Let's see it. There is nothing called loving God. Are you going to forgive him? You're going to die for him? Are you going to give to him? Are you going to be patient with him? Or kind for him? No, loving God is loving people. That I love God. I love God. I love God. And they'll be crying in the worship service. I love him. And they don't get outside. And somebody has backed their car. Who did this? The tears will wipe away. Like the new heavens and the new earth. They say, who did this? No. Sis. Someone wants to say like that. She's not here again. So if I say it. Anyway, I saw her one day. I said, there was something that belonged to the church that was missing. So I went to the wall and I saw someone shouting all over the place. You will die if I don't see it. I said, you can't be this person. Yeah. As I saw her like this, I said, who is this? I said, no, go and call her. I said, no, I'm the one. I said, no, go and call her. This is not she or her. No. The hair was up, she was already cursing. How can you, Christian? How do you used to do? How were you able to say? You see. You know, some of you, because you have understood the love of God, you will say what you really want to say. You see. Nobody will say you have cursed anybody. You don't say. You see,
brother, this thing ought not to be so. Do you understand? See, it is the love work that shows character. It is the love work that shows Christian character. Amen. Are you following my point?
Okay.
So, what if this person is irreconcilable? What do you do? Believers can be irreconcilable. I mean, in the sense of Barnabas, he fell out and he walked away. Of course, it may not be, you know, in tandem with what we're saying totally, but it's just something that it just doesn't work out. What do you do? Do you know that really, I say it often, love is for instances like this. Love is not for good times. I tell couples, love is not for what you like. Love is not for what you like. Love is for what you don't like. God didn't love us because we were doing well. We don't need this love. God loved us as sinners. We were offensive. So love is for what you don't like. Hallelujah. So it is at that period that you will now see your love work. Are you there? Matthew 18:17 now says, let it be unto you a publican and a sinner. That's how you're going to see. You now ask yourself, how did Jesus handle publicans and sinners? He received them. He never condemned them. We've seen that before now. So what do you do?
Matthew 5, 44. I say unto you, love. Are you there? Matthew 5, 44, are you there? Love who? Love your enemy. Did he say love the enemy? Oh? Love your enemies, bless them that curse you. Do good to them that, say return to them that is not a blessing, it's a curse. Do good to them that hate you, and pray for them that despitefully use you and persecute you. Look at verse 45. Can we take 45 together? Everybody, let's go. That you may be the children of your Father, which is in heaven. For he makes his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and... Look at that. On the good and the evil. Luke 6, 28 and 35. So, the fact that the person has not changed his conduct is the more reason why you will not demonstrate the love of God. She hasn't changed his conduct. Stepmother, upstairs father, stepsister. You know, I told you, those are people from polygamous homes. If you are not careful, you will be raised to see strife as legitimate. Careful. I grew up, even me that didn't come from a polygamous home. My mom will call me. If they give you anything, as a child, she looks at you eyeball to eyeball. They give you anything, you must not eat it. And it's not with our friends or family friends, it's with family. I tried it for some time. It didn't work. I ate this. At the point where she said we should not be eating layer meat, salami meat. The one that paid me. You know, they suppose what brought the raw ones, it threw down away. It didn't have any impact. But when I saw the fried one, and I saw where they fried it, and I saw it, as the guy was talking from the gate, I said, "Don't there, my guy." We took my 4 pieces. We are throwing it away. Do you understand? Even that alone, she's already planting unconsciously. She's trying to protect you, but she is not helping you. You become suspicious of people. That's why all these fall down and die churches, they cannot preach love. The minute they preach the love of God, that's the end of their ministry. Because it is love your enemies. Every enemy, leave. That's it. That's a leap. Because they cannot be talking about agape and be saying die. And say, Potiphar's spirit will die tonight also. It can't happen. They will not be looking for obscure Old Testament scriptures. It brought out the javelin. I don't understand. Javelin. Javelin. Say the axe floated on the water. How does it? So that's a weapon of war. The Lord is bringing the water in his spirit. The axe. Calm down. Just to breed strife. And that's even amongst them, they sustain each other. Now I give the brother and say, welcome, sir. As you get up, you anoint the place. When in a service, somebody you are close to, they are doing the deliver for the person in your presence. Out! Yahoo! Let's not be delivered here and say, Easy. If you want to marry, and you say, come out, say, Some sisters are not smart. Some sisters are not smart. Somebody wants to marry you, and somebody else says, thank you, Holy Ghost, and you say, The guy just looking at, what's going on? And then you are running on the floor. And you just say, ah. Just say, he's not picking your call. Will you pick his own call? Why will you pick your call? There was nobody that went to one church in the battle. And he was calling out demons and witches. By the time he was done, most of the women came out. They had dropped their earring. The man was not enjoying himself. Come out. They were enjoying it. Come out. The husbands just went home. And we're packing their things. They don't have confidence in the deliverance. What deliverance? You know what I mean? Once you get deliverance, tell me that the man is a witch. The men are part of their thing. If it were you too, what would you are? Witch. You say, don't worry, I will pray for my father. You understand? You know, we did like this. What you are doing is not good for you. The correct brother just said, I believe in the power of God, but this damn self. He manifests a lot. Okay. Luke 6, so, verse 35. But you love you your enemies and do good and lend, hoping for nothing again. And what reward, and your reward shall be great, and you'll be children of your father. He is kind unto the unthankful. Can you see that? The unthankful is the word acharistos in the Greek, just used 2 times, acharistos. It means somebody that's not pleasant. He's kind to the unthankful. Somebody that will say thank you. That's what's the big deal. The who? God who? Do you understand? He is kind to them. He won't seize their breath because of that. He won't stop the sun from shining upon them because of that. He has already set his blessings once and for all, whether you are good or you are evil. And that is the life of God. So they're just kind. See, nothing is as powerful as our nature. There is no hatred that can overcome us. There is no bitterness that can overcome us. We are born of God. We are born of God. And the same way the love of God overcomes everything, we overcome. That's it, we overcome. So we don't say, hey, what he has done. No. And I say that to couples a lot. Let the love of God overwhelm what the hurt is. If you can just look at yourself. Many times we handle issues in our homes like wife and husband, not born of God. Any human being can be a wife. Any human being can be. To be a wife doesn't, you don't have to be a Christian to be a wife. You don't have to be a Christian to be a husband. But you see, to be the husband like Jesus, you are born again. To be a wife like the church, you are born again. And the nature of God corresponds with that instruction to love and submit. Amen. We are not instructed to do. We are instructed to express. To allow our nature to overwhelm circumstances. Amen. I said amen. Don't say, we Yoruba people. Mm-mm. We new creatures. We Igbo people. Mm-mm. We are also. Mm-mm. You are a new creature in Christ. Of his own will begatting us with the word of truth, James 1:18. That might be a false kind of the false truth of the scriptures. That's what we are. We are not just repackaged Yoruba people, repackaged Hausa Igbo people. No. We are born of God. Hallelujah. And so the instructions to love and submit in our homes, it corresponds with who we are. Amen. I said amen. Yeah, I'm just the same as you press a knob in a car. It's because the ability was there all along. So what we do is because of who we are. Hallelujah. We love and we submit. We forgive, we forget. We have the ability to forget like our father. Not that our mind will not be on it. Not that our brain will go into a relapse. But that memory doesn't hurt us. It doesn't influence our actions anymore. Hallelujah. So what do I do? Romans 5:8. For God commended his love towards us while we are yet sinners, Christ died for us. If you see that the love of God was towards everybody, whether you take it or not, God loves you. Do you know the people in here? God loves them. He loves them. He said it's not there for everybody. So, your actions will be independent of the person's attitudes. So what do I do? Now look at Romans 5 again. If God, Romans 5, verse 10. Let's take it together. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more being reconciled, we shall receive his life. So when we were enemies, he reconciled us by the death of his son. He didn't respond to our behavior when Jesus died for our sins. And so we are. Amen. So what's the first thing I do? I pray. Don't say I pray. Pray. Pray for the person. Do you know that there is no verse in the New Testament to pray against someone? Not one. Father, we pray against. There's nothing like that. You pray for. We are not enemies. We pray for. Look at something. We've seen Matthew 5. Pray for them that despitefully use you, verse 44, and persecute you. So they pray for them. You pray for. A man said it in this country. He said, the Bible doesn't tell you what to pray about. So you can choose. I said, that's a dishonest person. Pray for them that despitefully use you and persecute you. You know that Paul says that even persecution against the church. 2 Thessalonians 3:1 said, pray for us that the word of the Lord may run its free course and be glorified, even as it is with you, and that we might be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have no faith. Notice the prayer was not against those men. It was for that you that they delivered. Not to pray against people. Are you there? Are you there? In Romans 15 again, verse 30 and 31, said that we will be delivered from those who are in Jerusalem. That our God will be accepted. There was nobody they were praying against. You pray for believers. You pray for people. Not pray against them. Hallelujah. See, it is not a mark of honor for someone to lose, be hurt on your account. It's not a plus, it's a minus. If anybody has a loss or suffers grief because of you, you work for the devil. It is the devil that makes people grieve. You worked for the devil. If because somebody broke your heart on campus, the person now gets mad, you swore. Ah! Tire! Then they say, do you know that his first two wives died? Why are you smiling? I told you, I'm the apple of God's eye, idiot. You are a fool. So everybody who loses his spouse must have hurt somebody. You are an idiot. We don't talk like that. Death is an enemy of God. Amen? Death is what? An enemy of God. If there's anything God does to those who hurt you, He blesses them. Because we have overcome evil. Hallelujah. We pray for. You know, in Acts 4 too, when they were going to pray, you know, about the persecution of the Jews, they said, Lord, behold their threatenings and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness we might speak your word. Acts 4, verse 29 to 30. Did he say, Lord, deal with them? No. Behold their threatenings and grant unto us faith. So if I'm praying for someone who has hurt me, I also pray that I will walk without offense. Amen. That's what I should do. That should be my goal. James 3:9 says you cannot use the same mouth to bless and to curse. That these things ought not to be so. Hallelujah. Tell my brethren, these things ought not to be so. Don't curse people with style. With style. You won't use curse. You even use just a, I just know that those who think that this will happen, they will be ashamed. They will see it. We'll show them the glory of God. You know, you are using style to curse them. They will do it. when this starts to happen, they will come back begging. Tables will turn. You are cursing with style. You are cursing with an anointing. Don't curse. Bless them. Someone comes, you say, well, it is well with you. Everything. Don't say, I bless you. That's not a blessing. Don't say, I bless you. I bless you. I bless you. All the things you lay your hands on shall prosper. You will live in health. You are preserved. Your family is preserved. Amen. You will say those things, and your mind is going, ging. Says, you are born of God. Hallelujah. That's how our Father acts. Amen. Number two, you will do good. Doing good is an activity. You will be kind. You can send an offering. You can send a gift. Amen. You do good.
The person has refused to respond. In reconciliation, you do good. Number three, you speak well. You speak well. You speak well. It doesn't mean you associate with everybody. You don't have to associate with somebody to speak well of the person. You're not associated with them, but you speak well. Speak well of them. Hallelujah. Are you there? Now, what good will you do to that person? Nothing. It's just, you say nothing. What would that do to the person? You may not see, you can't tell. You know, just the same way God loves us and loves the sinner. And God respects the sinner's decision to be destroyed. But God will not participate in that destruction. God will love the sinner to his death and to what happened to him after. So, love does not mean I am going to twist somebody's will against what he wants. But it simply means that whatever he does, he will never make me do evil. God doesn't abandon the sinner. It is the sinner, the unbelieving man, who has abandoned God. And God does not react because he has abandoned him. God actually accepts his decision to abandon God. That's what he does. And that's the same thing. It doesn't mean that we'll force our way in. No, we're not forcing our way in. But we're just saying that nothing the person will do will affect our attitude. I will love under all circumstances. Amen. So we close. We bind and we lose. I bind myself from unforgiveness. Amen. I bind myself from unforgiveness and I lose the other person from unforgiveness. I ensure that I don't walk in the flesh, no matter what someone does to me. I am born of God. I'm just like my father. Amen. Let's take that confession this evening. I mean, let's go. The love of God is my nature. I'm God's workmanship, his masterpiece, his son and seed in Christ. Go on. Created unto good works towards others. In this, I walk in love. I'm just like my father. Go on. I'm patient. I am kind. I endure long. I'm never envious of anyone, nor boil over in jealousy towards anyone. I am not boastful towards others. Go on. I am not rude, nor do I dishonor others. I do not insist on my rights, because I am not self-seeking, nor selfish, not always wanting to have my way. Go on. Hence, I am not stubborn. Okay, I put others first before myself. I never find excitement or joy at injustice, but only when truth and righteousness prevails. I am capable of enjoying anything and conduct of others, because I am born of God and He does too. I am ever ready to believe the best of every person. My hopes about others are faithless under all circumstances and situations. It never weakens. Go on. I cover the multiple sins of others. I'm never quick to expose or discuss others' faults. These traits are natural to me. I don't fail in my love walk. I win all the time as I walk in love, and God, not me, is glorified. Amen. Hallelujah.